Tape recorded message number TL-164. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 40, where we resume our studies of the life of Joseph. In our last study, we saw Joseph, by means of a false accusation, was cast into prison. As I mentioned before, in all circumstances such as this, it's well known in the history of Egypt that if he had been guilty, his master had thought him guilty, he certainly would have been put to death. But apparently his master did not seem to think that he was guilty, so simply committed him to prison. I doubt if this was the ordinary dungeon. It seems to be a place where the king's own prisoners were kept. It did not go so ill with Joseph in prison. He put him in this prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound. According to verse 20 of chapter 39, he was there in the prison. But the strange record is that the Lord was with Joseph. In the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners in the prison. In fact, this man who was the warden apparently made Joseph the warden. And he must have just taken things easy. He found out that here's a man that I can trust, a man that I can depend upon. And so he committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Now the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. He didn't seem to keep track or make any check or investigation. He just did not look to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And so it was not so ill with Joseph in the prison. The Lord was looking after him. But in verse 40, as the history resumes, and there's not need for a great deal of comment, the important thing is to become familiar with this, the history of Joseph. It came to pass after these things that the butler, the king of Egypt, and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Now, to be eating and to be drinking was, of course, commonplace, and, of course, the king had his chief baker and he had his butler, and that offended their lord, the king of Egypt. We have no idea what the offense was, but Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers. He was against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard. It seems to be that they were just in detention as to what disposition would be made of them in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. That is the place where he was also a prisoner. When you read the word bound, it does not mean that you were in chains, that you had fetters on. It just simply means that you were under restraint, the place where Joseph was bound. Now, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. This would be, as we would say, in jail, as if they were waiting trial to see what disposition may be made of them. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. They were cast down, crestfallen, and this was noticeable. And he asked Pharaoh's officer with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today? You men look like you had a bad night, and why do you look so despondent today?" Well, they said unto him, "We've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." They felt there was some message in this dream, and they said there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? And we might just as well say that interpretations do belong to God. You can buy all kind of books today that will tell you the meaning of dreams. And over there are those soothsayers and those sorcerers and so on that will tell you the meaning of dreams. But you have to remember that God has not appointed these men as mediators. And if there is any interpretation, that interpretation belongs to God. People today have dreams, and they like to think that there must be, because they're so strange, there must be some great significance. And they work on it and make up this and they make up that. And oftentimes they think that they have something. But the interpretations belong to God. He says, Tell me them, I pray you. Well, the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. He saw all of this happening as if it was in a slow-motion picture, a time-sequence picture. And he saw the vine, he saw the branches, and the blossom shot out, and the clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And that was his dream. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. Now Joseph gets the interpretation from God. And he says, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former of manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream. And behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree. And the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Now that was the interpretation. Whatever wrong he had committed against Pharaoh was of such serious nature that this was going to be the outcome. And so they've given their dreams. Joseph has given the interpretation. One interpretation is good and the other is exceedingly bad. But in verse 20 it says, It came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So easy sometimes to forget that someone has done you a great favor, and now he's in the good place, and maybe he doesn't want to jeopardize anything, so he says, I'll just not get involved, and so he forgot him altogether. Well, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Now, get the time sequence. 2 years later, Joseph is waited in prison, no word was heard. Now Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, these 7 well-favored cattle, and they were fat flesh. It's plain that they had water to drink, and that they had food to eat, and these are what a buyer would call very fine cattle indeed. And they fed in a meadow. Everything was good. And behold, 7 other cows came up out of the river. They were ill-favored. They were bony, and they were lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And there they are, 14 of them, and 7 of them described as being very good, very favored, the type of cattle a man would be proud to own, and the other were ill-favored. and the type that no man could take pride of ownership. Well, in verse 4 of chapter 41, the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind, so Pharaoh awoke. Now, of course, this is exceedingly strange because these were not meat-eating animals. But in the dream, the ill-favored did eat up the 7 well-favored, and then Pharaoh awoke. Well, he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk. This was rank, well-grown, grew fast, and it was good. And there were 7 ears. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. The one was the kind you would expect after good growth, good harvest. The other after a very bad season and very bad weather indeed. And these sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. I'm inclined to feel it was troubled by God. But his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. These were the wise men. They did not exactly practice what we would call sleight of hand, although sometimes the charlatans among them were involved in this. But he called for the magicians of Egypt. These would be the wise men, all the wise men thereof. Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Now, they could maybe have made up something, but once they make up a thing, that has to come true in time, and so they don't dare to attempt it. They could not interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. That's an interesting comment. I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in one night, both I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew. See, Joseph was still a young man. He was a Hebrew. He was servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. Came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me, he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Pharaoh, upon hearing this, he sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself. In the dungeon there was no need for shaving, but now called to stand before Pharaoh, this Hebrew shaved himself. Now, it's commonly believed that the Hebrews were a bearded people. I'm not inclined to think so. It seems to me here that he was just following a custom, and not because he stood before the Egyptians. The Egyptians, according to all we know about them, the monuments, were usually a bearded people, and the spade beard was common. When God said to the men of Israel, Thou shalt not mar the corners of thy beard, it had to do with cutting a square like the Egyptians cut it. They were not to imitate the Egyptians in this. But here the record is, he shaved himself, and he changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand the dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace, an answer that's right, that's put together right. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. When they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. And so I awoke, and that's the dream. He adds a few details that were not given before, but that's the dream. He does not repeat it exactly, No one ever repeats a thing twice just the same way. He even adds a few details. But the dream is the same, and he awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered, thin, and blasted, with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me, that is, declare what it meant. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. This is a message from God. And God's shown you what he's about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years. And the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. It's not two dreams, it's one. The interpretation's the same. The seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty years blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. Now here's a interpretation that covers the space of 14 years. And woe be unto Joseph if there are not 7 good years, and then the 7 years of famine that follow. This is declared. And it's declared over a period of 14 years, and this is to begin at once. And for that dream, and for that the dream was double unto Pharaoh twice, is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. This will come to pass immediately. Not the entire 14 years, but that it would start to come to pass, and that God would bring this to pass with great speed. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Joseph makes bold here to give Pharaoh this advice. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. 1/5 of all that's produced, let Pharaoh take this. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. Let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, notice here that Joseph possessed the Spirit of God. He didn't possess the Spirit of God that he might work great miracles. He did not possess the Spirit of God that he might become a flaming fire for the Lord and speak in languages and so on. But the Spirit of God was in him for the purpose that God was fulfilling. You know, no matter how small it is or how great it is, when God's Spirit is given, it is always given in harmony with the purpose of God, with the thing that God desires. So let's not think that the gift of the Holy Spirit, when God says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, that means upon that every man upon earth becomes the equal of Christ, to whom God gives the Spirit without measure. No, if God gave us one word direct from himself, we would have that much of his Spirit. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit. And oftentimes people want to be filled with the Spirit, but they want to be filled with enthusiasm. They want to be filled with emotion. They want to be filled with what they call power. They want to be filled with what they call joy. But when God said, be filled with the Spirit, and he defined the Spirit as being the thing spoken by Jesus Christ. If a man would be filled with the Spirit, what he should do is to fill his life and his mind with the thoughts of the Word of God. I know people who know everything that goes on television. They know everything that takes place in the sporting world. They know everything that takes place in the newspapers. Everything that takes place in the neighborhood. They're just filled with these things. They can give you every detail. And then they'll say, oh, Lord, fill me with thy Spirit. They asked to be filled with the Spirit when they themselves would just fill their lives to overflowing with all of these things. No, if you would be filled with the Spirit, then fill your things with the Word of God. Well, Joseph was a man that had the Spirit of God. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." And he was made wise in these things by the Spirit of God. "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne, the actual seat of government, will I be greater than you." So we might say that this made Joseph the prime minister of Egypt. And whatever he said, that was it. Only in the actual government, the throne, the actual seat of government, was Pharaoh greater than Joseph. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took his ring from his hand. He put it upon Joseph's hand. This was the signet, the seal, by which he could make papers official and so on. He arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, garments that were worthy of his position. Put a gold chain about his neck, the symbol of office. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. Second place only to Pharaoh. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And so whenever Joseph moved about, they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And men had to give obeisance to Joseph. They may not have wanted to do it, but they had to do it or probably be thrust through with a spear. So Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I'm Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." To lift up your hand was to do a thing. To lift up the foot was to make a move. And he says, no man is going to do this in all the land of Egypt. This is as far as government is concerned. Now, Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, which is believed to mean a revealer of secret things. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You remember we first met him at 17. And now, 13 years later, at the age of 30, he's standing before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out in the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, a figure of speech meaning great plenty. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which in the land of Egypt, laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which is around about every city, laid he up the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. You see, when you come upon the phrase, the sand of the sea, it always has to do with the great quantity. And so when you read in the Word of God that God promised Abraham a seed like the sand of the sea, and like the stars of the heaven, that doesn't mean an earthly seed and a heavenly seed, as we were inclined to believe at one time. Just as the context shows in every case, this is dealing with the great number. And so Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea very much, till he left numbering, because you can't number the sands of the sea. And so he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Athenas, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And this becomes an important name as one of the sons of Joseph. And there'll be a tribe called Manasseh. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. "For God," said he, "hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." The name of the second called Ephraim. And there's going to be a very prominent tribe in Israel called Ephraim, as we well know. "For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." And so Joseph has these 2 sons. Names will be prominent throughout the rest of the Old Testament. The firstborn Manasseh, and the second called Ephraim, because God had caused him to be fruit in the land of his affliction. Now, verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And just as Joseph had predicted, right to the very letter, the 7 years were ended. Now, the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph has said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Egypt was rather central, and there were many lands around it, and while the famine and the dearth hit everything around there, in Egypt there was bread. Now, when all the land of Egypt was famished, when they came to the place where they were, the hunger started, and this wouldn't start for quite a while because the people would have their own things for a time, then the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, "Go unto Joseph, what he saith do you do." Now the famine was over all the face of the earth, and this is a historical record that's tied up with the records of Egypt, that there was this great famine. It was over all the earth. Joseph opened all the storehouses. He sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, here Jacob living off in the land of Palestine, where the famine is hit because it was over the entire known earth at that time, and Jacob saw that there was corn, meaning grain, of course, in Egypt. Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And they were at the point of starvation. All they were doing was just looking one upon another, hoping for a solution. And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brethren, Benjamin did not go, but Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. So the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And here is the fulfillment of the sheaves of wheat. Here is the fulfillment of the sun, moon, and stars bowing to him. And they bowed before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren. But 13 years has passed. And while he knew them, because there are the 10 of them there, and if he recognized one, he could easily recognize the rest. But he made himself strange unto them. I take it from this that he probably spoke to them through an interpreter. And he said nothing and did nothing that would in any way show that there was any relationship. So he made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "In the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. And he said unto them, "Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies." And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man, the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And that's their description. It's good that they didn't say any more. They just simply said that he's not. And Joseph said unto them, "This is that I spake unto you, saying, ye're spies. I still insist, ye're spies. Hereby shall ye each be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." And he put them all together into war, that is, put them in custody for 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God." He tells them that he fears God, and he says, "Now do this and live. If ye be true men, Let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. I think he wants to see if there's any change in their character over the 13 years since they sold him into slavery. And they said one to another, "We are very guilty concerning our brother." They link it up, and they link it up right, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. They recognize the hand of God in this. This was not a dispensation of grace, and God was indeed punishing them mentally, we might say, and to a certain extent physically, for this great sin. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, but you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them. See, he was speaking to them by an interpreter, but he understood every word they said. And he turned himself about from them and wept. Shows some of the tenderness of this man's heart, the great love that he had, for indeed he's one of the most admirable characters of Scripture. He turned himself about from them and wept, returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Simeon's name will always be prominent in Scripture as one of the tribes, and so it's Simeon he took and bound before their eyes. Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, to restore every man's money into his sack, to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth, and filled up the sacks, put the money back into the sacks, right in the very what we'd call the mouth of the sack, and tied the sacks up, and they didn't know the money was there. He said unto his brethren, "My money is restored. Lo, it is even in my sack." And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, "What is this that God hath done unto us?" They came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, "The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, We are true men. We are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that you're true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the family of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land." It came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. These were probably coins, and they were in a bag called a bundle, and tied up, but they found the bundle of money, and in the top of every sack, and they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, "Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you'll take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, "Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again." And he said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then you'll bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." Now this is the second occurrence of the word Sheol, and he says, what he actually says, "If anything would happen to Benjamin, it would kill me. It would just break my heart and kill me, and just bring my gray hairs with sorrow down to Sheol." Not that Sheol was the place he was gone. He was speaking of the state of death, that he would go into it if anything happened to Benjamin. This brings us to chapter 43. This is merely a Bible reading. There's no interpretation much required, just some little comment that I like to make. But we go on now to chapter 43. The famine was sore in the land. Came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again and buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether you had a brother? And they said, The man ask us straitly of our state, and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? We had no idea he'd say this. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand thou shalt require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. That is, let me bear this blame in perpetuity, continually. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned a second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels. Carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and olives, and take double money in your hands. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, and go again unto the man. God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother, and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Well, the men took the present. They took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home, and slay, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time were we brought in, that he may fall upon us and take us for bondmen, take our asses, our beast of burden as well. They came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. And they said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. Well, he said, Peace be unto you. Fear not, your God, and the God of your father, hath given you treasure in your sack. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and gave them water, and they washed their feet, an oriental symbol that they have been well received. And he gave their asses provender, feeding these beasts of burden. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon. And they made ready the present against Joseph, came at noon. For they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. He asked them for welfare, and said, Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. They bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And here we see the outworking of God. Here it comes years later that we see these men bowing their heads and making obeisance, just as the dream that Joseph had dreamed. He lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. Meaning his heart, as would say, his heart went out to him. And he just yearned to embrace him. And he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. He did not want them to see his feelings, his emotions at this time. He washed his face and went out and refrained himself and set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves. And for the Egyptians which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that's an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another, because he took them, and they seed them right according to the oldest, right down the youngest. And he took and sent messes unto them before him. But Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs, and they drank, and they were merry with him. They do not yet know who he is. Well, this brings us to the end of the 43rd chapter, and this has been a rather lengthy reading. And as I've read this time, my mind goes back to when I was a boy of about 8 years of age and read this story for the first time. I remember the first time I ever read it was in a book called Foster's Story of the Bible. It's a book that's still available. It's old, but it was good then, and I first read it, but I found out that didn't tell me everything. I didn't want a digest of it. I wanted all the details. And so I had my mother or my father, I forget which, to find this for me in the Scriptures, and I read the story of Joseph with great enthusiasm. I read it over many, many times, and I thrilled to it every time, but I doubt if I have ever in my life experienced the thrill of just reading a thing and seeing the hand of God and feel that I was reading the inspired word as I have when I have read this to you this time. It has been my privilege, and I trust that you'll become more familiar with this story as I have become more familiar with it, and you will love the word all the more because we have been through this part of the record of Joseph. We will continue our study in the next lesson. It has been my joy to teach you, and I trust that you have found pleasure in listening. And until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.